The Days of Elijah, Book 3, Angel of the Abyss, is now available in paperback, Kindle, and audio edition. Everett and Courtney Carroll have endured to the midpoint of the Great Tribulation. The previous seal and trumpet judgments have left the planet in shambles, and the Western Hemisphere is nearly uninhabitable. The prophet Elijah gives Everett a special mission, which will give him a unique role in fulfilling end times prophecy. But he'll have to survive the coming cataclysms first. Angelo Luz breaks the treaty he made with the nations, declaring himself to be God. A plague of stinging locusts rises up from the smoke of the bottomless pit, and a 200 million man army of radical jihadists wages a holy war against humanity itself. Everett and Courtney's tribulations thus far have been a walk in the park compared to what's coming. Get your copy of The Days of Elijah, Book 3, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin, from Amazon.com today.
You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com. Ready-Made Resources is a trusted name in the prepper community because they've been around for 18 years. They offer great prices on night vision, water filtration, long-term storage food, solar energy components, and provide free technical service. Get ready for an uncertain future at readymaderesources.com. Hey, Preppers and Patriots, I got a big announcement today. The Days of Elijah, Book 3, Angel of the Abyss, is now available in paperback, Kindle, and audiobook. And as always, I'm hosting another giveaway to celebrate the release, and I'm giving away some high-end essential survival gear this time. We're going to be giving away a Surefire G2X Pro, which is probably the most dependable tactical flashlight on the market. Also going to give away a Sawyer Mini. The Sawyer Mini is what I'm carrying in my bug out bag now. Used to be a Katadyn guy, but it's a little bigger. It's a little more bulky than the Sawyer Mini. And I like the idea that it's less bulky, takes up less space in the bug out bag. And, it works great. I took it camping last year and I really, really liked it. So, that's my new bug out bag water filter, and I'm going to be giving away one of those, and the Gerber suspension, which is really great multi-tool. It's got the screwdriver and a knife and the scissors and pliers and wire cutters and all the little essential stuff that you need in a multi-tool, and that's also what I keep in my personal bug out bag. So some really, really great survival gear that we're giving away. The total value is over $100 for that prize package. So that's going to be the first prize winner. We'll also have a bonus giveaway, and the bonus giveaway is going to win 3 free codes for audible.com that you can use on to listen to my audiobooks or anybody's audiobooks. Actually, they're not specific as to have to be used towards my books. So that's going to be the bonus giveaway. And to win, you leave a review for The Days of Elijah, Book 3, Angel of the Abyss on Amazon.com. Number 2, just send me an email. That's PrepperRecon@gmail.com. Use Abyss Giveaway in the subject line. And if you'd rather be, if you'd also like to be included for the bonus giveaway to win the 3 free Audible codes, just put Abyss Audiobook Giveaway. If you put Abyss Audiobook Giveaway, you're going to be entered in both drawings. You're going to be entered in the regular survival gear drawing and the bonus giveaway drawing. So you only have to send one email. And the drawing is going to be held Friday, September 29th. And the winner's Amazon screen name will be posted on PrepperRecon.com. And they'll also be notified via email. And sorry, this contest is only open to U.S. residents. We do appreciate all the folks outside the U.S. that listen to the show, but unfortunately the giveaways are only for the U.S. So enjoy the rest of the show, and I hope you'll take time and pick up the book if you're into the apocalyptic fiction stuff. Folks that have read the Days of Elijah books 1 and 2 so far have really, really enjoyed it. So I think especially for those folks, they will not be disappointed by book 3. So thanks again, and on to the show. Today's guest is Ron Good, author of the Gray Ham series. Ron, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me back on, Mark.
Absolutely. And before we get started, you've just released the second book in the Gray Ham series. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. It went live on Amazon about a week ago, and it's called Book Two, Restoration. And it's continuing on with the story of Don Wood and his wife and the FCC and the FBI starting to come down on him. And I'm hoping that the audiobook will be available within a week or so. It's in review right now. So all three formats will be covered.
Yeah, well, by the time this airs, it should be available. The ACX should be approved, and it should be out on Audible.
Yeah, and I wanted to let your listeners know, especially for anyone that's new, that book one is going to be free on Amazon, and it will be available for free the Monday after this podcast is out for 1 week. That way people can have an opportunity to download it and read it.
Good, good. So that'll be the week of September 19th. And so anybody that's listening to it, when the show first comes out, should be able to pick that up for free. That's a great way to check Ron out. And, you know, he's got a great story, and you don't have to worry about the profanity or the sex that you get from so much of the fiction that's out there today. And so we certainly appreciate that. So Godspeed with the book, Ron.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it, and I hope to have the third and final book in that series released the first quarter of 2018. And I'm looking at my notes here because I had some notes to refresh my memory from the last time that we talked, because I've actually got a list of stuff here that I was going to just kind of throw out. But anyway, the last book's out the first quarter of 2018. And I'm sorry, I made a mistake too. It's actually book two is Justification. That's what it's called. And then book three will be Restoration. So let me kind of clear that up a little bit.
Good, good. Now we've had so much stuff happening in the news lately. It's kind of hard to know what to cover first, and I don't think we could probably even cover everything. We're probably going to have to make some cuts and just hit the big stuff now. It's certainly not been a slow news cycle as of late. I guess we got to start with the weather, because I'm going to date this recording, but as we speak, Hurricane Irma is barreling straight towards me. And Weather Underground jokingly had a graphic up that set, and it had a picture of Irma, and then over top of it, it said Category 6, which, you know, it tops out at Category 5, but I guess it was their way of making a joke, which might be funny if the thing's not coming straight at you. You used to live in this area, Ron. I guess you're glad that you're not in Florida anymore.
Yes, I actually worked a couple hurricanes when I was on the police department there in Vero Beach, where I grew up, and I worked Hurricane David. And of course, at that time, you're talking 90-100 mile an hour winds. But what I'm seeing also on the weather with Irma is just going to be devastating. And you know, we had the remnants of Harvey that came in, since I'm in Northwest Tennessee now, and they were calling for us to get upwards of 4 to 8 inches of rain, and we were blessed to only get about 3, a little bit of wind. I mean, the property that I live on has a lot of trees, just a few limbs down, so that was a real blessing for us. But yeah, it's, you know, hurricanes are never fun, and for people need to understand to prepare for them. And I find it interesting. They'll prepare for a hurricane. They'll prepare for a blizzard. They'll prepare for other things, but yet in the long run, and I know we talked about this before the last time I was on, we see the direction of our country, and they just kind of blow that off, and that kind of strikes me as a bit odd, I have to admit.
Being a police officer and having worked those hurricanes, I think that a lot of people don't recognize that when you guys go out there and do that, you, by definition, have to leave your own families at home. And, you know, is there a point to where the civil order just starts to break down, and police officers are not going to be able to respond, and they're going to have to stay home and take care of their own? And what is that cutoff point?
Well, I know for me, you know, I was on the police department there in the 70s and the 80s, and when Hurricane David hit, the eye passed right over Vero Beach. And the people prepared well for it, and we evacuated the barrier island and got them all out. And it wasn't really a bad hurricane. I know after the fact, we were all pulling 12-hour shifts. I think I worked 2 weeks straight, 12 on, 12 off, which after a while gets really tiresome. Not only that, but you know what the heat and humidity is like there. So picture yourself out there directing traffic, you know, in uniform, bulletproof vest, all the leather gear, and it's 95 degrees with about 100% humidity. At that time, I was still single. I was not married, and so it wasn't really an issue. But, you know, when I think of the folks there in Houston and that what took place with the flooding and all, I know that law enforcement there has to be stressed to the max. I watch some of the news reports in the 911 call center, and those people, you know, you could tell they were ragged. And I'm sure a lot of officers and firefighters lost their homes the same way. And God bless them. They're out there doing their job in spite of their own personal loss. But yeah, I think there's going to come a time where they go, hey, what about us? And, you know, that will pass. And it was interesting in listening to the news reports too, Mark, that there was a comment that was made that really kind of stuck with me when they said that for the next 6 to 8 months, a lot of the things that you're used to having will no longer be available. And that was what the guy called the new norm. And I thought, wow, the new norm is doing without a lot of things we're used to kind of having. What does that look like? You know, toothpaste or clean clothes or whatever until they can rebuild that area. Now, you overlay that with, let's say, a complete financial breakdown where our country is just gone down, you know, the monetary tubes, an EMP strike. That new norm's going to last a long time. So they'll rebuild. They'll get, you know, hopefully some semblance of normalcy within 6 months or so. And that new norm will then wane, you know, and things will be regularly normal again. But boy, in the long run, you know, some of the things that concern me, and I'm sure you too, with an EMP strike, that new norm's going to last for years and years and years. And 6 to 8 months, when you run out of those things, even that a lot of preppers are stocking up on, then what do you do? And my wife and I have been talking about that considerably with, you know, learning to homestead, learning to do some things that maybe we don't know how to do. And that's our next prep step now that we call it, since we've got, you know, a lot of the basics and stuff down, you know, 6 to 8 months worth of food and water. And, you know, we just went out today, just got back from Sam's Club, and we were kind of going through our preps, and I said, you know, here's an area we're really lacking in vitamins and stuff like Tylenol and different over-the-counter medications. So we stocked up on those today and just brought a bunch. I bought, like, I don't know how many bottles of vitamin C and multivitamins and stuff, because they're going to last a long time. I mean, they might degrade a little bit, but they're still going to last a while. So I kind of gave an end around, you know, about your question regarding the law enforcement. But I think any time that there's going to be some type of potential long-term catastrophic event, law enforcement at some point in time is going to go, no more. And you know what? We saw that happen with Katrina in New Orleans. A lot of those guys left. They left the scene. And then you had complete and total chaos in New Orleans.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, and water filters. Use coupon code PREPRECON for 5% off your order at CampingSurvival.com.
I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out JMBullion.com today.
We were watching some of the footage for Harvey, and like we always see, people were in line at Walmart. They were fighting over water, you know, and it's astounding. People still see these threats coming, and they wait till the very, very last minute. I'm going to date the show again. We're recording right now on Monday. The storm, the soon as it's really predicted to make landfall anywhere, is probably Saturday evening, Sunday morning, somewhere around there. So we're almost 7 days out right now. So we stay at a pretty heightened state of readiness in my house anyway, just with the stuff that's going on with North Korea, which we'll have to get into a little later in the show. But there's not typically a lot of things that we need. I had some of those propane camping cylinders that I keep for my camping stove. I like that. You know, I've got the solar oven and a rocket stove and a lot of other stuff. But, you know, for short-term disasters, it's nice to just have that convenience to screw in the propane and heat up your coffee in the morning with that. So I went out to get a few more of those because those things, they don't store forever, which I learned last year. I had the few that I had left, and I took them camping with me last year and used the rest of them. But they leak out after 4 or 5 years. They start losing some of the pressure and eventually leak out. So I had to go get some new ones of those. And I went to Walmart. They were completely out of gas cans. They had some generators. Generators were sold out. And then I had to go by Home Depot, just driving by Home Depot to leave Walmart. People were already getting plywood, and people were stocking up with water and a lot of that kind of thing, which is good. And this isn't a hugely populated area that we live in. It's a lot less so than somewhere like Houston or where I'm from before in Fort Lauderdale. But it's good to see people are starting to get prepared. But, you know, there's already a shortage on things. There's already no gas cans. There's already no generators. And we're a week out. So it's we'll probably see that here where people are standing in really long lines trying to get last minute supplies. And that's when tensions get high, and that's when I just don't go out, period, because that's why I went out today. So even if it gets that bad, I don't have to be anywhere near that. So it's one of those things you gotta think and get way out in front of the curve, because especially in times like these, right after people saw that type of catastrophe in Houston, I think that they're not overly complacent right now. People have got all those images in their mind right now, and people are ready to get prepared. But at the same time, that can get people anxious and nervous, and you get a certain segment of society that gets violent when they get like that.
Yeah, and another thing you start to see too is the price gouging. People know that maybe a desperate situation is coming up, so let's double the price or triple the price. I had heard in Houston, there was a report that I read that there was a guy that was charging $50 for a 12 pack of water. Now, I don't know if we have it or not here in Tennessee, but Texas has a law that you cannot do that. But everything just escalates because you're going to have people that prey on these types of situations, which is really sad too. And yeah, it's interesting. Did you notice if any of the prices went up astronomically in your area?
No, because the only place I went to was Walmart just to get those few cans of propane. And I don't think Walmart would ever do anything like that. They'll sell what they have and then and then that'll be it. Yeah, and I saw on Drudge somebody had $99 for a case of water. I'm sure it's probably a little larger than the 12-pack you're talking about, but it's probably 24 or 36, something like that, for a case of water. They had $100.
Yeah, that's, and to me, that's just so sad. But again, it reminds us to be prepared for, you know, any type of situation, and, you know, start stocking up on the stuff. But, you know, it's interesting. I kind of made some notes that we talked about, I think it was 4 months ago, the first time you had me on. And just since that time, I bullet pointed a couple of things. If it's okay with you, I'd like to just maybe run through these just to show you how much has already occurred since our last conversation.
Oh, absolutely. It sounds really interesting.
Okay, well, the first thing is Antifa has grown and organized. Okay, we have seen a big change with them, that they're at a lot more rallies, and they are very well organized. Ironically, that group I've been reading is a member of the NRA. That group is buying a lot of firearms now, and this is ever since Trump was elected. So these folks that were coming sometimes with bats and clubs and rocks are starting to arm themselves, which is now getting scary. Okay, so that's one of the things with Antifa. But they're starting to get a little bit of pushback, and I find it interesting that a Democrat came out to speak against them and what they're doing, you know, which should have been done a long time ago. And then it was about 3 days later that a Republican actually came out speaking against them and what they're doing. And I've come to the conclusion, you know, I don't know about your listeners when it comes to politics, but I've now come to the conclusion that we have two hallways that lead to the same door. I just fully believe that both of these parties are leading to the same door. So that's, you know, let me hear your comments about that, and then I'll kind of move on to the next one. So what are your thoughts about Antifa since the last time we talked?
Well, we've seen the riots, I guess we'll call them riots, in Charlottesville, because it went from what was slated to be a peaceful protest, even though I don't necessarily agree with all of the people that were on the what they called the right side of that. I don't think that the League of the South, I mean, I know that they're not necessarily violent, but anytime you have an organization where you don't allow anybody else in your organization except white folks, that's by definition, that's racist. You know, I don't much care for all black colleges or all black sororities or all black fraternities either, but you know, they have the right to do that. So League of the South, they certainly have the right to have their organization as well. But I'm just saying, just to say that, you know, there's people that are in my survival group that are multicultural. So, you know, I know that we wouldn't be welcomed with them. So, I don't necessarily agree with them, but they had set out to make a peaceful protest, and Antifa and BLM came in and turned it into basically a riot. And Antifa and BLM, we saw them come together in Charlottesville, unlike we've ever seen those two groups merge and coalesce over a single idea before. So I think that was a really big development, to see those two groups coming together and starting to form sort of a loose alliance in Charlottesville. And I think that's probably something we'll see more down the road as this civil instability that continues to be stoked by the mainstream Mockingbird media. I think the more that we get down this path towards a civil war, I think that we'll see the battle lines being drawn and people taking sides. And unfortunately, I think that those two groups are going to be on the same side of the fence.
Yeah, and what's interesting is, you know, this has been taking place on a lot of college campuses, and they're starting to get some pushback. Interesting article that I read that parents who went to these colleges now are not supporting them anymore because they're not open to both sides of the conversation. They're not sending their children there. One college in particular, their donations were down something like $1.2 million from the parents who used to attend that college. So I think some people are starting to wake up a little bit and go, hey, this is not right. You just cannot have just one side of the conversation. We can disagree, but let's hear both sides and discuss through it. So finally, there's a little bit of pushback. The other thing that has taken place in just these short 4 months is we've got these historical monuments that are under attack. When we talked, you know, a while back, this wasn't taking place. They wouldn't even let a guy whose name was Robert Lee do a sports cast, for crying out loud. That's kind of how silly this whole thing has gotten. So they're not looking at it as history, whether it's good or bad. It's just, we disagree, tear it all down, and they want to rewrite history.
Which is the definition of fascism, isn't it? And that's what Antifa stands for, anti-fascist. And lo and behold, they dress almost exactly like the brown shirts. They wear the armband, and it's a my way or the highway mentality, and they'll put a boot on your throat if you don't agree with them.
Yeah, and ain't going to put a boot on my throat. I have concealed carry everywhere I go. But anyway, moving right. on from that one. You know, you had brought up North Korea, and that's the next bullet point that I have, like, in my notes here, that they just continue to defy every sanction that is put up against them. It's almost like flipping America off, and I just saw, well, we're gonna put more sanctions against North Korea. And I'm thinking, okay, when will it be time? Now, I'm not one to go to war, okay? I had a brother that served in Vietnam, and I'm not one to go in there and nuke anybody, because just the collateral damage and the fallout. But at some point in time, China and Russia better put the kibosh on this guy, and they're not. He's just still, you know, I think he's a big kid thinking this is a big video game. And he's going to keep on pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. But he shoots this missile over top of the north part of Japan. And I was of the understanding, Japan said, if he shoots one, we're going to shoot it out of the air. Well, they didn't. And it falls, you know, in the ocean. And I thought to myself, what happened if that thing would have went off course and struck? You know, it could have got real bad real quick. But do you think the sanctions are working?
He's just done another nuclear test. Japan, they're running evacuation drills. I don't understand why he's been allowed to continue for so long. The only thing I can think is that it's China that really doesn't want to see his regime fail, because they're going to be inundated with refugees. And that's the only thing I can figure, is that China must have so much leverage with the U.S. that they're telling us that we can't do anything. And that we must be more afraid of what they can do to us financially by calling in the debt than we are of what Kim Jong's going to do, because now he's got ICBMs. Now he's just perfected what he claims is a hydrogen bomb, and miniaturized warheads. And his rhetoric just keeps growing, and he keeps. Doing more and more missile tests, more and more nuclear tests with impunity. So I just can't figure it out, other than the Chinese just must have that much sway over U.S. policy, because nothing else really makes sense, does it?
Well, and I think you've got a secondary reason, too, is that China wants that buffer between them and South Korea. You know, South Korea is a flourishing democracy with freedoms, and North Korea definitely doesn't have that. You take North Korea out of the picture, and let's say some type of a government were to come in that is set up like South Korea, China's going to get real antsy because their people don't have the amount of freedom that the South Koreans have. So if we can keep that buffer in between the two, we can keep capitalism out of our country. Now, I think China's made some changes in that there's, you know, a little more freedom, so to speak, but they've still got a heavy hand on their people. And so there's, I kind of get the impression there's a secondary reason, too. But it'll be interesting at what point in time, you know, they kind of made fun of Barack Obama for drawing this line in the sand, and then the line kept moving and moving and moving. And sometimes I feel like I'm hearing the same thing with, well, there's going to be sanctions against them, and there's going to be sanctions against them. And this is like the fourth set of sanctions, and we still don't see any change.
That's the end of the first half of my interview with Ron Good. Tune in next week for the rest of the show. Trading Post in the Woods is ran by veteran crisis responders who know how important it is to be prepared. They specialize in comprehensive natural survival remedy kits, preparedness and homesteading supplies, as well as skills training. Visit them online today at tradingpostinthewoods.com.